Moncrief on News Talk.
In most houses, the attic is full of rubbish, but are you sure it is rubbish? Could you have an undiscovered treasure up there? Sarah Kenny is owner of Sarah Kenny Fine Art. Sarah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Is this common? Does this happen all the time?
Well, there's always discoveries in attics, whatever. But it's just that it's a time scale when people go up there. They're either on the move or, you know, their relative has died and they're to clear out. But the discovery is not just in the attic. It's throughout the houses. They're sort of unaware of what they might have and what is in the house, whatever. So it's things you do come across, absolutely, whatever, but not always in the attic.
Okay. Yeah. And so mostly it's a relative has died and you're going through the contents of the house, I suppose.
Yeah. So I come across this a lot. So I'm sort of involved with a probate network group involved in sort of valuations. I do the valuation side of it, where I go in and sort of assess what's in the house and advise the clients, particularly when for the executor to say, right, these are the items of value. This is the unknown item here. These items are unsellable. And we can advise then where to go and what to do, just to, you know, to sell or disperse amongst various individuals. But it's half the time I say to people, I said, you know, you need to know what you have, formulate a plan, and then you can move forward. Because a lot of people don't realise what they actually have at home. I always recommend having some sort of listing too. Well, it certainly help in a case of probate where executors come in. So it makes their life easier and help the generations coming up behind them to know exactly that did belong to great Aunt Mary or great grandfather. So it's always very important to know what you have.
Yeah. But that's probably more contingent on the person who has passed away to be able to leave behind.
Exactly, to help. I think you should know, in any case, people forget what they buy over the years, whatever. So everybody should know what's within their house of value, whatever. So you should always keep a record, have an updated record for whether it's insurance. And from that, you can use that listing for any purposes down the line. And it also helps family members, because always you hear the case, oh, that's very, you know, that piece is particularly valuable. When it might, the market's changed, whatever, so time moves on and that piece mightn't be as fashionable nowadays, or maybe something that was reasonably priced earlier on has moved up in value. So you have to keep current with your values, know what you have. Styles change, whatever. Mm. And also a lot of the bigger furniture nowadays, that the houses are not necessarily suited. You know, people are living in smaller houses, apartments. So the big bulky furniture, there's a big difference in the value in that, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Always stick to quality, though.
And so if a piece is, you know, a Victorian piece or a Georgian piece, can the price of that vary widely depending on whether it was, this particular piece was in fashion 20 years ago?
It can vary in price, whatever. Obviously, you know, when you're buying something, so, you know, the Georgian Irish furniture is particularly good quality, and its size is generally not too big. But so then you get into the big Victorian era and there's a big, you know, the big wardrobes, the big chest of drawers. People don't have the space for those now, and the prices definitely do vary without a shadow of a doubt. But the quality is there. And I always say to clients, you know, in the house, if I'm going around the house, I said, if you can use it, the quality of these pieces are fantastic. It's green, it's friendly. Also, you have to bear that in mind, whatever. Mm. But you also have to be practical. I said, you can't take things from let's say, your relative's house that is not going to work in yours. Be practical in what you do. But certainly size, style, has to be taken into account. And the quality is always good.
So for somebody listening now, and Sarah, and their great Aunt Mary just died and they've inherited the house and the contents of the house, but it's just full of old stuff. They don't know if it's worth anything or not.
Yeah.
Is there, before you bring in an auctioneer or somebody to have a look at this, is it possible to just walk around? Are there things you should look for to say that might be worth something?
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. I think you do need to, walk around. And that's why, as I said, I have a probate network group of, you know, the carriers of Patrick Oman in particular, and then another contact there on the share side. But certainly I come in on the valuation side. So I would go into a house and I would do a walk around with the clients, whatever, and identify the items of value. I say it's the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's the way I describe it to clients, the good, the bad. So it's the good pieces, the middle of the road, and the items that have no minimal sale value, whatever, just to give them peace of mind. Because sometimes they think, I don't know what's here. I don't know what's of value. And to have somebody come in who's been in the business for many years and can say, right, you're okay, these items are of value, this is not. We can orchestrate, we can organize this, so depending on what has been kept, the certain items that would direct to certain sales rooms, other items to other sales rooms. You know, you have to divide and conquer, because not all items go to the one location. Ah. And it's actually just knowing, because not all auction rooms will take them, because they specialize in certain areas. And some places, they just think certain things aren't selling. So that's where you need a team, a network team to come in, a private network team to come in to really give you an all-round advice. So it's a one-stop shop, basically. So they can, you know, they can deal with the moving side of it. They can deal with the orchestrating, the selling of it, because it doesn't come under one auction house. It'll come under a number of auction houses. And for people trying to contact them, you need to know where you're going, what to do, how to go about it, who to contact. And for many people, it's a bit of a nightmare. And it's, you know, where do I start? I often go into houses and clients just go, oh, thank you, that's great. Or else I'll walk around the house and I said, now, where are you going to? You know, you're downsizing, you're selling your big house. Where are you going to? And they bought a, let's say, smaller bungalow or smaller house. And I said, great. I said, let's walk around the rooms, room by room, and let's figure out, what do you want? Mm. And I said, just think about where you're going. And I said, don't be taking the big things. It's not going to work in this house. I said, you've lived with them, you've enjoyed them here. I said, let them move on to somebody else. I sort of remember the case with my own parents. We lived in a house in Dunleary, Victorian house in Dunleary. My parents were moving to a modern bungalow in Wicklow. And I said, right, Dad, I said, we'll start at the top of the house. Mum and Dad, we'll start at the top of the house and we'll walk around the rooms. And I want a yes, no answer from you, keeping it or not. And remember where you're going to. And I remember walking around the bedrooms, whatever, and we got down to the hall and the dining room, whatever. And my father turned around to me and said, God, you're bossy, aren't you? I said, but Dad, I'm not bossy. I'm practical. I said, you don't want to live in a house where you're crawling around the furniture. I said, think about where you're going to. He had the sentimental attachment because he bought everything.
Of course, yeah.
And so, you know, as much as you must love things, whatever, you have to let things go and let other people enjoy them as well. Mm. So, you know, there's a practicality, there's value, there's so many considerations to be taken into account, whatever.
Yeah.
So many. But yeah, I was the bossy daughter, but they did appreciate it.
And those big old sideboards that are the size of a Volvo. And obviously, there's, you know, nobody, most houses wouldn't have the space for them. What happens to them then?
That's quite sad. And that's just a fact of life now. There's big old Victorian sideboards, there's pedestal sideboards. Nobody really wants them. So I always say, if you can utilize them, use them and, you know, make them into something, because there isn't the room. And also, the fashion has changed. People don't have the formal dining rooms anymore, whatever. Very few houses would have that. And also, it's the colouring as well. It's the dark. Everybody's into that, you know, bright, light beige toned look, whatever. It's sort of that minimalist look as well. So, you know, I don't think they will come back more because of its size. But where you can use it and put it into some sort of functionality, do. I always say, don't waste things. I'm a great believer of, I hate seeing things thrown out. I hate things.
Of course,
There's always, everything sells, no matter where. Just fine. It's knowing where to go and what to do and how to go about it.
Sarah, thanks a million for speaking with us today. That was Sarah Kenny there, owner of Sarah Kenny Fine Art.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.